for Brian this morning. Awesome job, Brian. You know, if you don't know Brian, he's got a really, really good sense of humor. I don't know if you know that or not, but Brian's got an incredibly good sense of humor, and we love Brian and Amy and Hannah, and so thankful for them. Brian's mom and dad are here today, and aren't you grateful for Brian's testimony again? It was just phenomenal. Really appreciate that so much. And, you know, you heard Brian mention, you know, he joked around, I'm a member of Life Community Country Club. Remember when he said that, you know? And he told me not to put that in, but I don't always do as I'm told. You know, that's the problem with me. I don't always do what people tell me to do. But, you know, the reason he said that, if you're new to Life Community, is that we've been talking about why the church is not a country club. So it was a little bit of an inside joke that he did of why the church is not a country club. Actually, the church is so far from a country club. A country club is a place you pay your dues and you go to get served. But in the church, Jesus has paid our dues by his blood, and we are included by his grace, and then we serve instead of being served. That we are a community of faith and hope and love, and that's what God calls us to do. And it's exciting to see just great things. Brian has done such a wonderful job of leading us right into what I'm preaching about this morning. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, or get your sermon notes out that's in your program this morning, and I want you to follow along. We're going along with the book, I'm a Church Member by Tom Rainer, and we're kind of following that outline, and it's been some good stuff. I think God is teaching our church through that study. But this morning, we want to talk about as being a church that matters, that makes a difference, a church that's not just a bump on the log, but a church that makes a difference. One of the factors of that is being a church full of members that leads their families to church. Member that leads, takes the initiative to bring their family to church with them. As we read from God's holy, infallible, and errant word today, that's always true and always real, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 31, says this: For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The mystery is profound. This mystery is profound. But now look at the emphasis that we want to focus on. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. Father, may you add your blessings on us today. May your Spirit lead us into being a type of person that leads our family to church. We love you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people pray, amen. So we see here Paul is talking to husbands and wives, and later on he would talk about parents and children. And what he's doing is he's using the family as a metaphor, as an example, as an illustration for how much Jesus loves the church. We need to understand that the family is very, very, very important to God. The very first family that was ever given was Adam and Eve in the garden. And by the way, who instituted that marriage? God himself did. Did you know that marriage was here before the church was here? Did you know that? Marriage and family was here before even the Ten Commandments were here. It was the very first thing given was family. It's very, very important. For the Christian, family is a huge deal for the Christian. It's a big, big deal, part of our faith, that we believe in having a family that loves God, and we lead our families together. So when Paul is talking about family relationships, family is so important to God that he even compares it to Christ dying for the church. And he's trying to make that example that Jesus loved us so much that he would die for us. He shed his blood for us. He gave himself for the church. And to get the point across, he uses the family as an example. Now, it's not rocket science, but you can add two and two together and you quickly see that family should be important to all of us. And if the church is a family, and that's our spiritual family, and then our earthly families are together, it only makes sense that if the earthly family is important and the spiritual family is important, it only makes sense that we put the two together. that our earthly families are connected also with our spiritual families. And Lord willing, as our children grow to understand the difference between right and wrong, and they grow to understand what it is to give their life to Christ, that they too would one day give their hearts to Jesus Christ. So leading your family to church is very, very important. It's a big deal. It's a big deal your kids are in church. It's a big deal you're here with your spouse. It's a big deal that your families are together. Now, question, where are my parents with children 10 years and younger in the house? Look at them. Isn't that awesome? May the Lord have mercy on every one of you. Amen. We have a 4-year-old and a 17-month-old. Now, let me tell you about leading your family to church. There's something about the Ragers you need to know. I'm going to let you in on the private life of Kenny and Taryn. We come to church happy, excited, ready to get our praise on. I mean, it's just good, Tina. You're back there laughing because Tina knows where I'm going. Tina and Greg served in the ministry. They know. And we're just ready to get our praise on. I mean, me and Taryn have communed with God that morning. And we have sensed the Spirit. And we're ready to tell you what we got from the mountain this morning. Now, can I tell you what real life is like with a pastor with two kids? I have to be here early. And my poor wife, she didn't know I was going to do this today, so she may throw something at me here in a second. She's got to wrangle kids. And I'm telling you, you get a shoe on one of them, and the other one comes off, doesn't it? You put pants on one, diapers coming off the other one. You got them dressed, naked baby running down the hall. You know what I'm talking about. And this stuff, I mean, it's like World War III breaks loose every Sunday morning. Listen. You're the same way. You try and get your family to church. And man, I'll tell you, you're trying to lead that kid to church, and you're pretty sure Satan himself has manifested within that 2-year-old. You're pretty sure that's happened. And man, you don't need to take them to the nursery. You need to take them for an exorcism. You know what I'm talking about? And you're praying for that child. And you get here. And then maybe you bring the child and they won't stay in nursery. And they're running everywhere. This last Monday night, our church got accepted into the Davis McLean Baptist Association. Isn't that awesome, by the way, that happened? And no nursery available for our little one. And I was in the back row, and the Burks were there. My little hope was not to be confined that night. And here I am. I got my suit jacket on, trying to be as professional as I can. Taryn's laughing. She said, just welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. That's why she's back there saying, welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Little Hope's going up and down the aisle, you know, waving at people. And I'm saying, when can they vote us in so the kid can get back in the nursery, you know? So when can we do this? And it's hard. Amen, parents? I mean, just being real, it's hard. And it's difficult. It's difficult getting them dressed and ready to go to church. And it's a battle. And I know some of y'all have teenagers. They don't want to wake up at all. They don't ever want to wake up. They want to stay up all night. Once you get them to sleep, they're in a coma, you know? And here's the deal. You try to get them. And it's funny. Church has this magic eraser, doesn't it? No matter what you went through, you walk through those doors. Hey, everything's good. Everything's great. Been the best day ever, hasn't it? You know, Junior slaughtered Fido in the house, but it's okay. Praise God. It's all right. And by the way, can I tell you something this morning? Don't ever let your babies worry you in this church. I would rather have 10 screaming kids in this church than to have no children in this church. Don't you ever, ever feel, amen? Don't you ever feel in this church that your baby is going to get in the way, okay? Don't ever feel that your little one's a nuisance here. Now, I will tell you this. It's really hard to focus when you're wrangling. That's why we got kids' church, amen? All right, just telling you, it's hard. But they ain't ever going to bother anybody. They're welcome here. But now, here's the deal. It can frustrate you. And when you're getting ready to get these kids ready and bathed and all that stuff that goes with that, getting them to come to church, it can be hard. And really, you might even think to yourself, what's it even worth it? You know, I go, I get them there, I take them to life group, they're running around, they're disrupting Bible study, blah, 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 blah. I mean, is it even worth it? And you get frustrated. And I had just a thought that came to my mind this week. Really, the battles that we have getting our kids ready for church is really the same battles that we have getting our kids ready to go to Walmart, getting our kids ready to go to school, getting our kids ready to do anything. So why is it that when it happens on church day, that we're tempted to stop going to church because of the kids? We're not tempted to stop going to Walmart. We're not tempted to stop taking them to school. But we do say, oh, it's so hard to get them there. Guys, I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? Y'all want a preacher this morning, amen? It's hard to get them anywhere. It's not about getting them ready. I love you, but hear me. It's a priority issue. You with me on that? It's a priority issue. It ain't so much that your kid is little bitty Adolf Hitler. That's not the problem, okay? The problem is mamas and daddies prioritize stuff. That's the problem. And sometimes where our faith needs to be on the forefront, it takes the back seat. I'm just telling you, I have no problem with kids running around in Bible study. I don't. Because even though we may not remember what we learned in Bible study that night, our children will grow up remembering that mama and daddy were in Bible study. They'll remember that. And that'll make a difference. Make a huge difference. So here's what I'm saying is that leading your family to church is very, very important. I want you to hear this real quick. I read an article by a man named J.C. Thompson. He is the children's director of the 5th and 6th grade kids at the Brookwood Church in Simpsonville, South Carolina. It's one of, identified as Outreach Magazine, is one of the top 100 largest churches in the United States. And he said this about kids and bringing them to church. I thought this was so good. He said that children can't figure their faith out. They don't need, let me say this, they don't need to figure their faith out on their own. They need a mama and a daddy that helps them understand their faith. They need a mama and daddy that teaches them the core principles of the faith. Actually, we're commanded to do that anyway with the lost world, right? Right? To tell people about Jesus. So doesn't it make sense that that starts in the home? That we have Christian education in the home? Children need you to help them understand that. And when we say, well, they'll just let them figure it out on their own. Well, let me tell you, here's what happens when you do that. The cult groups are really quick to educate them. The false doctrines, the philosophies, and the junk that's out there today is really quick to grab them. So if you don't teach them, you ready for something? Somebody else will. Somebody else will. Second, he said that they are hormone-driven when they get teenagers. Amen. And you know what hormones do? They make you go crazy. They need a little stability in your life. So bringing your child to church, to be in a healthy environment where faith is being preached, and also to how to understand those feelings that they're developing and how to understand what's going on, they need a youth group to help them. Amen? They need somebody to work with them and to help them. And then there's the mere fact they need truth given to them. They need truth and they need experience. They need to hear it and they need to go to church camp. They need to go to youth camp. They need to go on retreats. I mean, you heard Brian mention that he gave his life to Christ at a camp. I surrendered to preach at the same camp. There's something about experiential events that are milestone shaping. Question, anybody say that a vacation Bible school, a church camp, or in a revival? Raise your hand. Yeah, experiential. God did something with that. Children need that. They need that in their life. So if you're going to break it down, and here's your points real quick, or here's your blanks, the Bible teaches that church membership is like a family. It's very clear. It's not country club. It's not pay your dues, get served. It's we're part of a family. But second, I want you to see this, that families need to be in the church, and families need spiritual leadership. Families need to be in the church, and they need spiritual leadership. Families need to be led to church. Husbands, you're going to get it hard today, but I love you, all right? All the wives say amen. Here we go. Y'all ready? So, what do we need to know about leading our families? First, spiritual leadership is commanded, not suggested. It is not an option. It is commanded. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible tells us this: imprint these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Bind them as a sign on your hands and let them be a symbol on your foreheads. Back then, they would actually take little bitty boxes that they would wear on a band, and they would put a little box on their head and put it on their arms, called phylacteries, I think were the names of them, and they would carry scriptures in those little bitty boxes, and they would open it up, and they would take out the scriptures and read them. They took that literal. They would literally put the word on their head and on their hands. They would literally do that. And then it says, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Here's in the Old Testament, they were commanded not only to know the scriptures, but to wear the scriptures, to wear them, to familiarize themselves with it. Here's how we apply that today. If we're really going to teach our children about the Bible, you need to know the Bible. Understand that they had to bind it on their foreheads and on their hands before they ever taught it to their children. Some of you all are saying, well, Kenny, we bring our kids to church for the spiritual education, and you need to. Where our teachers will always have curriculum for our children, and we'll study, we'll do that. But here's the deal. You too have to be teaching them about the faith. You personally have to. It says talk about it in your household. So unless you want to schedule vacation Bible school in your house this year, you got to talk to them. You got to talk to them. And you have to be there educating your children in the home. It's got to start there. You know, we got a really neat Bible, and for those with young children, let me recommend this. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's wonderful. The Jesus Storybook Bible. We've been reading that to Gracie the last few nights, and it's wonderful. We started with the very first one, and it actually, every story connects to the gospel. There's almost like a gospel presentation at the end of every story in that Bible. Everything from Abraham and Isaac to the Tower of Babel, it somehow connects it to Jesus. It's pretty cool. And I hope you get one of those for your kids if you got small children. Lifeway's got them, the Jesus Storybook Bible. Start there. Start with having a family devotion, prayer time in your home. But here's the main thing. You mamas and daddies have got to get them out of bed and get them here. But Kenny, they don't want to come. Of course they don't want to come. Are you for real? Really? Really? Do you think they want to come? No. No. Now, we hope they have fun when they get here. We try to make it fun, right? I mean, this ain't your grandma's church, okay? We try to have a good time. But they're not going to want to come on their own initiative. You got to bring them. Hey, this is what we're going to practice at our house. If you're in our house, you're in our house. There's the rules. Till you turn 18 or you go to college and get a job, that's how it is. That's how it is. Well, that's not very modern. Sorry. Sorry. It's not modern at all. But there's something about just manning up, men. Manning up and leading your families to church. That means you get out of bed yourself. Amen. Means you make it a priority to teach your children about the Lord, to teach your kids about the Lord. You got to take initiative. Second, spiritual, this is what I really want you to know. Spiritual leadership makes a difference. Spiritual leadership makes a difference. There's a really neat story in the Bible where Paul and Silas are in jail, and God intervenes and breaks them out of jail. It's kind of a miracle that happens. And the jailer is so stunned by this. He is so took back by this, that he just says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they lead the jailer to faith in Jesus Christ. And I love what happens. So they told the jailer in Acts 16:31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the message of the Lord to him along with everyone in the household. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and right away, check this out, he and his family were baptized. The whole family were baptized. He brought them into his house. He set a meal before them and rejoiced because he had believed God, listen to this, with his entire household. You know what's really neat? When you begin to have faith in God and you lead your family to Jesus and you talk about Christ in your home, there's no guarantee that they're going to give their lives to Christ. Everyone has free will. They will accept that on their own or not, okay? We pray for our children to be saved, but in the end, it's up to them, right? If you make somebody make a decision, guess what? It's not a real decision, and that really messes them up when they get older. They're confused, and it's not good at all when that happens. But let me tell you this. When they make a genuine, real decision, there's rejoicing. Now, there's something you need to know. I'm not saying every child that's in this church is going to make a faith decision and stay faithful. I don't know that. Statistically, they probably won't. But here's what I do know. If you bring them up, the Word of God will be on their lives and they'll know. And they can never, ever say they weren't told. Amen? And they can never, ever say that mama and daddy didn't care for them enough to not take them to church. They can't say that. They can't do that because you're leading the way. And here's the great thing. Some of your children that are here right now, back there in kids' church and nursery, here in a few years, they're going to get older, and we're going to baptize them when they give their lives to Christ. Amen? I look forward to that. I have plans of staying with you folks for a long time. And I hope and pray in the name of Jesus that we get to see some of these babies running around dunked in our little tub one day, you know? We might have a baptistry by then. I don't know. We might keep the trough. You never know. You never know. But it makes a difference. Y'all with me on that? It makes a difference when you invest. Now, some of y'all are saying, "Well, Kenny, I'm single. How can I make a difference with coming to church?" Well, here's what's really cool. You're setting the groundwork if you're single today. If you're a single mom or a single dad or you're just single, you're laying the groundwork for what's important. For what's important. And you know what? Maybe a couple single people that love Jesus might meet each other in the church. Start a family. Nothing wrong with that. Amen? Rather for you to meet in the church than in a bar? Come on. I would. Rather for you to meet in the church than in a bar? By the way, single folks, you look in a garbage dump for a spouse, you're going to get a piece of garbage. Amen. All right. Somebody's paying attention, aren't they? Love it. Love it. Love it. Second, what if your spouse doesn't come to church? I just want to tell you this, okay? It still makes a difference. You may have no support at home from your loved ones, but I know they're seeing you. In your faithfulness. I know they're seeing you when you're reading the Bible. And just like Brian said, don't give up on them. Amen. And don't you be discouraged, okay? Don't you be discouraged. I know you'd love for that spouse to be here with you. And you're going to love them and stay with them by the grace of God. And pray that one day they get saved or be supportive, okay? But don't give up on them. And don't you get discouraged and stop coming. Amen, church. All right, third, here we go. Spiritual leadership reflects the heart of Christ. It reflects the heart of Jesus. Going back to using the family as an analogy, Ephesians 5. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for." What does that mean? That Christ loved the church so much, he did what? He died for the church. Gave his lifeblood for the church. To make her what? Holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. So good stuff. Such good stuff. Such good stuff. He says that husbands are to lay their lives down for their wives just the same way Jesus did. He sacrificed and died for the church so that the church might be holy. Likewise, men are to help their wives be holy. You ever thought about that? You're to help your wife be holy. Now, if we want to be honest with us, with everybody, normally our wives are helping us be holy. Amen? And clean. And clean. They're helping us be holy and clean. They really are. And now listen, I'm not telling you, men, that you're supposed to sit there and take your Bible and just beat her over the head with it and all that stuff. That ain't what I'm talking about. Because that ain't Christ-like leadership. I'm talking about you demonstrating and living your faith out in front of her, men. Amen? Encouraging her, praying for her, helping her, getting her the tools and the resources and the support and the encouragement that she needs. I heard a podcast not too long ago where a mom wrote into a pastor and said, you know, when am I supposed to have my quiet time? The kids are always running around the house. It's always crazy. It's always nuts. And whenever time I try to open my Bible, just the kids just melt down. When am I supposed to have my quiet time? And the guy that was doing the podcast, he said, well, I'm really glad you asked the question. So I would like for you to have your husband tune in. And he said, he told a story about John Wesley's mother. Wesley's a hero of mine. And the story goes that she had like 16, 19 kids or something like that. Could have had a reality show back then. You know what I mean by that? She had all these kids, produced some good ones, lots of kiddos. And the story goes that she would have the older kids to say, I need my Jesus time. And she would go at the table and take her apron, turn it around backwards, flip it over her head with the Bible in front of her and study God's Word. And the guy basically said that really, husbands of wives with small children, hear me, with children going crazy in the house, it is your job to make sure that those mamas have an apron and their time. Now, not to cook you meals. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? But what I am talking about is this. Men, take your kids. Hear me. Take your kids out in the yard and play with them. Take them out to eat. Go romp in the floor in the other room so your stay-at-home mom or whatever she does can have a little bit of peace of mind and read her Bible in the quiet. Amen. So before you start harping at your wife for not reading her Bible, you've given her time to read her Bible. Amen. See, spiritual leadership is a big deal. It's huge. It's huge. And we, as a church that makes a difference, have to be engaged with the family. We have to be in tune. So I pray that you'd make this decision today. My decision, and man, I'm telling you, this is one that I have to take to heart today. I will be a spiritual leader in my home, and I will be faithful in church. I'll be a spiritual leader in my home and be faithful in church. And husbands, how true that is for you to take that initiative, to pray. I didn't mean to be so hard on the men. Yeah, I did. It's all right, okay? Yeah, I did. Y'all are men. Amen. Y'all can handle it. If not, you need to grow up. Amen. That's how it works today. But I want you to know something really quick, that Jesus is doing something good, something great. I want you to focus real quick back to Brian's testimony. Back to what he said. You know, he thanked his mom and dad, didn't he? For keeping them in church. Might have wondered a bit. Debbie and Jeff probably got some gray hairs and lost some hair, right, Jeff? You know? But here's the deal. Look where Brian's serving now with his family. They kept him in church. It was a priority for the Forrest family. It was a priority. Is it a priority to lead your family church? I really hope so. Because Jesus Christ shed his blood for all of us on the old rugged cross so that we could be saved. I want to make the decision to be a spiritual leader in my home and to be faithful in my church attendance. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you so much for Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And Lord, today, if there's somebody here today that needs to give their life to Jesus, may they know that Jesus has a family for them. He's got a big family for them, the family of God. And there's only one way into that family, Lord, and that's through adoption, that you welcome us in through Jesus, by faith and faith alone. But we reach out and we receive your gift. And God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray today that they would trust in you. They would come forward and pray to receive Christ. Lord, there may be somebody here who needs to profess their faith. Join the church. God, give them the strength and the courage to come. And God, as we come, we also encourage people to come, Lord, and pray for their families. God, that their families would know Christ. So, Lord, may you take Life Community Church, grow this church, and let us be strong in your love and in families. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand as we sing? You respond this morning to the way the Holy Spirit is leading you to respond.
Amen. As we close, if you guys haven't been into 401, which was supposed to be today, but it's been postponed, one of the things you're supposed to do is write out your testimony. And Daniel and Bruce up here didn't do that the normal way. They put their testimony to song, and so that's what we're going to do today. So you probably have never heard it. I guess if you have heard it, it's been because you've been stalking us in band practice. So you probably, hopefully you've never heard it. So as we close, just know that this is their heart.
Trying